honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, working our way to the culmination of a pilgrimage that ultimately began in a foxhole on Okinawa when a young American in the 96th Infantry Division survived a hand-to-hand struggle with an enemy soldier. That soldier's wallet held clues to his identity. We've been talking to World War II veteran Durrell Gibbs and his son Wes about the incredible journey the photos in that wallet took them on. If you'd like to order the book Wes has written about it, you can find instructions at hometownheroesradio.com. You know who the soldier was. You know his daughter, who was two when he was killed, is still living. Don't know if she wants to meet with you or talk to you, but all these things fall into place, and you've got a plan to go to Japan, and you're even taking your siblings along too, not just your dad.
Yeah, I told my brother and sister, there's three of us in our family, I said, you weren't able to go to Okinawa, but you can't miss this. And they said the same thing. We've got to be a part of this. We're going to meet Hojo's daughter. You know, and we'd been told, we didn't quite know what to expect totally. The Japanese interpreter had told us, you know, Japanese protocol, don't touch her. You know, she's going to be standoffish. We just didn't quite know what to expect. And we landed in Japan, and NHK was there to meet us and get us in our hotels. And Dad, I don't think he got any sleep. You know, that night, the next morning, we were going to take the bullet train and meet Hojo's daughter, and he was so concerned about what the reception might be. We just still didn't quite know. You know, nobody said, she's excited to meet you. She's agreed to, and that's about all we knew. And so the next morning, a quick bullet train ride from Tokyo to Morioka took place. And I want to mention, Dad's an old cowboy, and so he wears a Stetson hat. And he had his white Stetson on, and so the media was aware we were coming. And even in Okinawa, people on the street would honk and say, cowboy, and everybody knew his Stetson hat. Well, we got to Tokyo, and, you know, we were the only guys walking down the street with a guy with a big white Stetson. And so everybody knew him and knew what our mission was. And we arrived in Morioka. They wired Dad up for sound. NHK was going to film this meeting, and we were informed that Hojo's daughter, her name was Noriko Kikuchi, you know, that she'd had a rough life, but she was kind of retired now and lived in a small home. And as we unloaded the van and walked up this path to her home, everything was nice and neat and clean. She had made a sign and pasted it to the door of her home that said, "Welcome, Mr. Gibbs." And instead of not wanting him to touch her, she kind of rushed to Dad and took a hold of his arm. Just held on to his arm. We were following kind of behind them in a little entourage of media. So we all entered her home, which was maybe half the size of this room we're sitting in right here, but very neat and clean. She had some fresh fruit there for us and a low table. We all knelt around that little table. So we had an interpreter. She couldn't speak English, and of course we couldn't speak Japanese. She was just very exuberant. And then as we knelt down, it seemed like she was a little bit subdued. And Dad presented her this wallet and the contents, and she took it out. And the interpreter, Dad relayed some of the information about the circumstances that he had obtained it. She asked him if her father was alive when he first saw him, and Dad said yes, and she said, was he dead when you last saw him? And Dad said yes. And then she asked, I thought, a pretty important question. She said, were you both fighting for your lives? And of course the answer to that is yes, you know. And she seemed content to me. Did you get that idea, Dad? She seemed content to know that that any one of them could have lost their lives. She seemed content in the knowledge that it was kind of every man for himself, I guess, at that point. She seemed content in that. The discussion got around to each man was fighting to stay alive. That was the words. Each man fought to stay alive.
And I know there's something else that she said that held deep meaning, but I want to ask you, Durrell, when you're walking up, what's going through your mind? Before you see that sign, before she comes and grabs your arm, what were you thinking?
Well, the day before, I started thinking how serious we was going to meet the Japanese soldier's daughter. She was 2 years old when he died, and all she ever knew about her dad was what she got from her mother. You know, she don't remember at 2 years. And here, the soldier that was partially responsible for her dad's death, I say partially because there were two of us in that foxhole. Here she's going to meet the guy that's going to give her dad's wallet, was the guy that had a hand in her dad's death. For me, it was, I wondered what I should say. Like Wes said, you don't want to show any emotion. That's what Alex said too. He said, don't show any emotion or anything like that. Well, how do you go through something like that and not show emotion?
So when you saw that sign in English saying, welcome, Mr. Gibbs, and then she walks out and reaches toward you and grabs your arm, can you help us understand what that felt like?
Well, it relieved me because I was free to show what any emotion. She was showing all kinds of emotion, and I did too. Wes did too. All of us, it was an emotional situation.
And to be able to take this wallet that you've had for 66 years and hand it to her, what was that like?
Well, by then, after quite a few hours a night and part of a day, being stressed on how I wanted to do things right, but how was you going to do what we had to do and not show emotion? See, all of a sudden, all that was released because she showed the emotion, and then we was relieved. We knew, well, we was going to show emotion anyway. I mean, how do you don't do things like that and not show any emotion?
And the envelope that you'd never been allowed to open was opened.
Actually, Dad had opened it a little before then to kind of see what was in it, to satisfy his curiosity. And he'd always told us he felt that it was probably a sweetheart's hair. You know, that's what a U.S. soldier would do.
Yeah, sure.
And didn't quite realize what those short hair clippings were until the research group then filled us in. But Dad was very careful with it. And
I opened it, and the minute I seen that short hair, I just closed it up. The whole thing was, when she opened it, there was a fingernail there in the bottom. I didn't know that fingernail was there.
She laid out a tissue, piece of tissue paper, I think, on this table in front of us, and she carefully poured that out, poured out the hair and the fingernail and touched them, and, you know, it was just very, very emotional, thoughtful. She carefully put those back in the envelope, and, you know, and their beliefs, I think I explained that before. She said to Dad then, I can't remember right if it was right then or just a little while later, a few minutes later, she said to Dad, you've brought my father home. So from the house, we actually went out, and there, a short distance away was a temple, a Buddhist temple, I think is what it was.
She wanted me to go with her to that worship place so that for her dad's spirit to be there at that shrine, they had to have something that he had had, and this wallet and that fingernail and all that stuff. She wanted me to go there and be with her when she put that back there. That was the hardest part of my being, because those two guides, the two Marines, they said, be careful of what you say, because they might use that so that the cause of the war isn't just all Japan's fault. Be careful what you say. Well, how many soldiers lost their lives in the death march? See, that was in my head. How many families that lost loved ones, they hate the Japanese. See? So here, American soldier, after this experience, is there with this Japanese lady, so her father's spirit can be there at the place of reverence. That was awfully hard for me to go there, because I felt like I was on the wrong side of the fence.
And Wes, I got the sense that even though you all knew it would be meaningful for the family, the depth of that meaning for her was more evident because of that ceremony?
Yes, it was a great closure, you know, for her.
And Durrell, what was the biggest takeaway for you from this whole saga?
Well, before, when I talked about they were Japs, And all of a sudden, I can't do that anymore. They're Japanese. We found out they have the same problems we have. They have three meals a day, hopefully. They have a life of their own. They're Japanese. And that's just the way it is. And that's how people can change. Hate can do a lot of damage, and something has to happen to heal it. So now they're Japanese.
You know, Durrell, there's two questions I try to ask at the end of any one of these interviews. First, there's something I have to say. I can't forget to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country, and thank you for letting us into this story, this journey, this adventure you've been on that is blowing a lot of people's minds right now, I'm sure. But when you think back on 97 years on this planet, is there something that you would say you're most proud of or most thankful for?
Well, it's brought a sense of an awareness of what the Lord can do in our lives. Regardless of what we be, the beliefs we have, the Lord is with us, and it's up to us to the extent that knowing that can help or deter us. It's up to us.
Thanks for listening to Hometown Heroes today. There are a few more comments from father and son that wouldn't quite fit into our radio time, but are featured in the podcast version online. I'm Paul Leffler, hoping you can join us again next time when we'll be reminded again through the stories of our veterans that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.